Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for any stage in life. I am here with Randy Hunter. He is a firefighter, and I am thrilled to talk with you today. We're going to talk about all kinds of safety. But before we get started, oh, ye grandfather of a six-month-old, tell us a little bit about your background and what you do now.
So I've been in the fire service for 26 years now. I started off as a volunteer riding on the coattails with my dad in a small rural department in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yep. So just about an hour south of Pittsburgh. And I knew I wanted to be a firefighter ever since I was a little kid. Joined the Marine Corps, was a firefighter for the Marine Corps and Crash Fire Rescue. I did that for a short period of time. I got out. I was fortunate enough to get hired in Morgantown, West Virginia, where I spent 10 years as a firefighter there, which is pretty close to where I grew up. So it was a nice working. I just got tired of the winters.
Tired of,
you know what I mean? So I came down here on vacation 1 year.
And here is Hilton Head, South Carolina.
I'm sorry, yes. And here is Hilton Head. And loved being down here. I applied for a job with the Bluffton Township Fire District July 31st of 2008, and I was hired August 7th of 2008 and moved August 9th.
Well, tell me what your role is down here now.
So I was with in the training division for the last 11 years. I've been recently reassigned to community risk reduction.
What does that mean, community risk reduction?
Well, I mean, it is just what it says. We're here reducing the risk in the community, but many years ago, or actually up until just recently, it's always been known as fire prevention. That's what the fire department is there. We've been there to prevent fires. And we realize now that our overall goal is to reduce any kind of danger to our community, to our citizens. So it's now community risk. So that goes anywhere from, you know, fire safety to hurricane prep, to trick-or-treating, making sure that people have the proper costumes on, barbecue grilling, fireworks, even though we're not supposed to use them down here in South Carolina.
Perish the thought.
Yeah, but that's what we realize now, that we have an ultimate goal of trying to protect our community.
It does seem like the overarching role of the fire department now is just really broad and generalized. I mean, you're here today talking about aging in place, and I think the fun part for me is talking about safety in and around your home is what we're going to focus on today. And even though the podcast is Aging in Place, we're talking about any stage in life. And that's what you said. When I said that, you had the best comment.
Yeah, we have a program. We shouldn't be looking at it. I don't exactly know how it's I wish I could remember what I said earlier.
That's exactly what you said.
But we need to be, we have programs from, small children to very elderly people. We look at all these different aspects of what they need to learn. Captain Lee Levesque, who is great at public education. He's also in the community risk reduction, and he is out in schools all the time. I mean, he meets with kids all the time about, you know, fire safety. Don't be afraid of firefighters. But now we're broadening that to where we're going around talking about, like we're going to talk about today, slips and falls and how to protect yourself around the home. But I think that's what makes it so, this position now is so interesting, is because we are literally out there, and when we go places, it doesn't take very long for someone to find out, oh, you're with the fire department, I have a question for you. And then there they are asking questions on how to make things better.
Well, let me ask you a question about how to position this. Initially, I was going to reposition this with, again, let's talk about little kids in the home to older kids, or is it better to do sort of a tour of a home, let's say for you? In other words, when you pull in to you get a call. What would be one of the first safety issues going to that call?
When you look at us coming into some of, you know, other organizations, maybe like up in Fairfax County, Virginia, for example, they have codes that say that your building, if it's a commercial structure, the numbers have to be such and such a size.
Oh.
They have to be contrast. And it's the same thing for our residents. We want to make sure that when the fire apparatus or EMS or police pull up in front of your house, that it's clearly marked that what your address is. You know, I knew I pulled in here. I saw the one.
Right.
But yeah, if it was nighttime, that one outside here is a little bit difficult to see. And we just want to make sure that it's visible.
So you said contrast. What does that mean?
Like if you have a white house, you want black letters.
Oh, got it. Oh, duh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So it's pretty simple. You know, we just, I don't know, maybe I didn't explain.
No, everyone,
he's shaking his head, she's laughing. So maybe, but that's, you want to make sure that if you stand on the road that your house is easily identified from the road. So when the apparatus pulls up front, boom, they know exactly where they're at.
It was funny that you talk about that contrast. We had someone talking about new appliances, and some of the new appliances are actually paying attention to the contrast between the, let's say on the stove, between being able to read it with a bigger font and then color contrast so that people can actually see it more clearly and easily, right? I mean, it was pretty interesting.
And I think that's a good, no matter what we're doing. I mean, I just taught a class for fire instructors, and we're talking about making PowerPoints, and it's got to be contrast. You know what I mean? Just, you got to make it, everything's got to be visible, no matter what we want. We're very visual people, and we want to see, know what we're looking at.
So when you drive in, walking into a home, what do you think of when you think of safety? What are you looking for?
Well, coming from the fire department, our main thing is we hope that every house has working smoke detectors. That's, you know, Captain Lee Levesque, when he's out there, that's his smoke detectors. That's what, you know, we want to see every home have a smoke detector.
Where, how often do we check them, and why smoke detector?
Well, so actually I should repeat, it's smoke alarms. It's alarming us to that there's smoke in the house. What we recommend, that, so before we get in too far, we want to make sure that, because this can lead down a whole rabbit hole of a thousand different things. So if we want to stick to certain things, we might not want to go down smoke detector or smoke alarms, but we'll go down a little bit. So what we recommend in houses now, we recommend that people sleep with their bedroom door closed.
Oh.
It's actually pretty amazing. Fire in a hallway, how much that door will stop and protect this bedroom, this room right here, for example.
Okay.
Now, it's easy for me to preach that, but I don't practice that because we have animals and we are not going to lock, my wife's not going to lock the cats out of the bedroom. Okay.
Right.
So what we say is if you sleep with your, you know, you should have one in the bedroom with your door
in
shut.
In the bedroom?
Yep. And then one outside the bedroom. Because if a fire starts in here and that door's closed, you want the smoke alarm to detect it inside this room.
Good point.
If the door's closed, you want one outside. That way for something in the hallway that the smoke is detected out there as well.
Is there a rule of thumb for how many smoke detectors you can have? And I know on Hilton Head, this house was built in 58 and it's considered a really old house, but in Pennsylvania and other places, relatively.
Well, and you know, in Bluffton, this is a, I mean, I'm not saying, but it's been,
it's an old house.
It's an old house here. A lot of the new smoke alarms are hardwired in, so they end with a battery backup, and those actually come in with the, based on building code.
Okay.
But what they recommend is, and you kind of caught me off guard with this, but we're rolled in one per bedroom, and then they want one outside per floor.
Okay. Yep. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And where you don't want a smoke alarm is in your kitchen or above your stove. I mean, that's, you know, I know it's a joke with the kids about it because when you're talking to the kids, you make them laugh. And you're like, well, my wife thinks that's the food's done.
Yeah,
like, and you're like, they laugh. But, you know, we got to think about it. We had a hotel built in Morgantown, and they installed all the smoke alarms right next to the showers. So someone would have a hot shower, and when they open up the shower door, it sets the alarm off every single time. So they had to go back and uninstall all these, reinstall them.
Note to self.
But sometimes people just don't think. They think smoke. They don't think something else is going to set it off.
What about carbon monoxide? I hear more and more about that.
Mm-hmm. Very, very important. Especially, is your house, well, here's what we recommend. My house, for example, is all electric, right?
Okay.
So I have less of a chance of getting carbon monoxide. Doesn't mean I don't need one because it's amazing. We had a call the other day. A gentleman went in, pulled into his garage and has a car with a push button.
Yes.
Pushed the button, thought it turned off, got out, was mine somewhere else, and the car kept running. So if he wouldn't have had carbon monoxide alarm in his house, then he would have been in trouble. But luckily he did.
Who would have ever thought that? We're going to have to take a quick break.
Absolutely.
We're going to come right back. We have a lot more to talk about here with safety and fire and all of those good things. We're here again with Randy Hunter on the Aging in Place podcast. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place. We are here with Randy Hunter, and we are talking about safety. We're getting ready to talk about your personal favorite thing.
Slips and falls.
Slips and falls, yes. At any age. But you said it's one of the things you deal with older people all the time, probably your biggest call.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, I think when we, as we get older, a lot of people don't want to admit that they need some help or they got to have to look. I bought glasses the other day, and I really was priding myself on never needing glasses. I'm like, yeah. And all of a sudden I'm like, I really need glasses. So when we look at things like this, I think some of our community, we really want to say, look, it's okay.
Right.
If you start to have a little bit of issues in getting around, we just want to make it safer for you. Okay. Everyone wants to live independently. So when we start talking about slips and falls, we want to make sure that you can go around the house and they can kind of look at their home and say, you know what, this is a potential trip hazard. If you have hardwood floors like in here, and you have loose rugs, right? So loose rugs are going to make people slip and fall. It's kind of simple. So we go around and we look and make sure we can move those things around and we don't want them around anyways.
So wait a minute. You will come in and walk my house with me?
We can. Absolutely.
Because that would be amazing. I've got a one-year-old grandchild, my 91-year-old dad who's here. It would be so helpful because I think oftentimes I see my house so often I don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things? You said loose rugs. That makes sense.
Loose rugs. You want to make sure. So as we get, and you could use this too for someone. Let's say someone breaks a leg.
Okay.
And so it's not just always looking at the elderly. We're looking at things that are going to make that person get through that house easier. So open concept. Make sure that they have an open area to walk. They're not going to be bumping into things. I don't know how many times I get up in the middle of the night thinking, you know, you do something, you bump in. I've got a new watch, and I don't know, it feels like it's 4,000 times bigger. I'm bumping on every door, you know. But those are things that we look at as we're going through. Do we have, is there a lamp in a certain area where you really want it here, but the cord sticks out? Restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Pause. Restrooms, you know, when you go in and you're getting in and out of the showers. Slips and falls. We should have rubber, you know, some grippy things on the bottom of the shower or the tub, handrails. You know, I mean, those are little things that we would love to come in and, you know, not necessarily tell people what they need, but make those recommendations.
Well, I think that's what, I mean, aging in place, I think I would love to have at any age. I'd love to have somebody come in and share with me areas that were safe and areas that probably could use a little safety update, if you will.
Absolutely. And 100% of fire departments in our nation, if someone was to call their local fire department, they would be able to come out and do a walkthrough. We do home inspections for fire. We can do home inspections for safety. When it comes to residents, it's one of the things where we don't go around and really, hey, can we come in? Can we come in?
Yeah, right.
Because it's not really that a man's home is his castle, for example.
Sure.
So that's why we can't really enforce fire codes.
But if we could invite you in, that would be.
We would encourage it. You know?
When you get calls, do you find that most of the time the slips and falls are in the bathroom or where? Bedroom, bathroom?
We, I don't have those exact numbers, but bathroom, bedroom. That's our two main.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. And a lot of times someone gets into, maybe goes to the restroom or something and getting up and sitting down, they don't have anything to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you know, lowering down, they kind of lose grip.
Yes.
They don't, some people don't like that cold floor. So they put that rug there. So now we have two things. Now we're trying to steady ourselves, but then our rug slips out and then all of a sudden they fall down. You know, talking about that, again, not trying to get too far off track here, then stay and eventually hit a certain point.
I don't know. It's kind of fun getting off track. It's really interesting.
But we got to make sure when someone slips and falls, we need to make sure that we're checking on our neighbors, okay? Making sure that we know our neighbors and make sure you have somewhere to call. If someone falls down, let's say I fall down on the floor and just can't get up.
Okay.
It actually, after so long, it actually becomes pretty dangerous for them.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, because the way they lay there, it can be a very serious health risk. So what we recommend is obviously having some way
to communicate
or just know your neighbors and say, hey, you know, I haven't seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith in a while. My wife and I did it the other day. We are a neighbor of ours who we see sitting on the front porch day in and day out, had a little sticky note on his door from a package delivery.
Right.
And my wife came by and she's like, man, I, you know, I don't know if so-and-so's home. I mean, that package slip's been there. The next day it was still in there. So we called one of his good friends and said, sure. Hey, do you know where, you know, so-and-so yeah. is? And they're like, oh yeah, he's been in Vegas for a month. We're like, whoo. But we pay attention to our neighbors and what they're kind of doing. Not because we're nosy, we're friendly. Maybe a little nosy too, but you know, but you want to know. No. But you know, if you haven't seen someone, stop and just check in them. You know, everybody wants to see that. And it's good being a neighbor too.
Do you teach people how to get up if they fall? Do you talk to people about it? Like you come in and someone's slipped or fallen on the floor and you're mm-hmm. like, because I know, because my dad lives with me at 91, that's, you know, that a six foot tall gentleman that weighs 195 pounds who falls is dead weight.
Oh, that's and it is very tough for me to go out. But that's why when we go, we send the whole engine company.
Okay.
Because we're going to have three guys and girls to help pick somebody up. Now, the other reason, too, is if someone falls down, we're going to go and make sure that they're just not getting kneed back in a chair. Does that make sense? So
yes.
We're going to make sure they're not hurt. We're going to kind of, hey, you know, and as our firefighters are in there, they are looking for those type of things. Hey, mm-hmm. Mr. Smith, we noticed you fell on this rug again today. Maybe we could just go ahead and take this rug up for you, or, you know, along those lines. But our firefighters are trained to always be vigilant of being able to help.
In other words, not just looking at what's presenting, but sort of the periphery, mm-hmm. what's going on. Do you find that you enjoy the education and prevention piece of all this? In other words, going in, if you could have seen that rug and had been invited in to kind of take a walkthrough.
Oh, I love doing the critical or community risk reduction. You know, as a young firefighter, I wanted to go fight fires.
Sure,
and I'm doing
sure.
all that exciting stuff, which I still do. I still love doing that stuff. I don't do it anymore. I'm off the trucks now, mm-hmm. but I absolutely 100% love coming and doing stuff like this, being able to educate our community. We go into our local retirement community here. I went in the other day and taught a CPR class for the security that runs the community.
Oh, interesting.
But when I was in there, all of the residents saw my department vehicle, saw me in uniform, and had 1,000 questions about everything. And I could have sat there all day and talked to them just because I enjoy interacting with the community and, too, being able to help.
What kind of questions did you find that they were asking you, which I think is really interesting?
Well, right now, a lot of questions we're getting is smoke alarms and changing batteries, and when can we help them replace their smoke detectors or
okay.
smoke alarms.
Okay.
So we do a program where we can go out, we'll help change batteries. But we're looking for someone that's not physically, again, we're looking at someone
sure.
living at home by themselves that can't physically get up on a ladder. So we'll go out, help them change their batteries, help replace their smoke alarms. Again, the fire service is one of the things that's awesome about it. You're talking about it's a broad scope. Is
yes.
When someone calls us, we never tell them no. You know, I mean, we have a policy that says we don't rescue cats out of trees anymore.
Right.
But sure enough, if someone calls and says, my cat's in a tree, guess what? We're going to send an engine company over there, yeah. or the truck company, and they're going to do what they can to get that cat out of the tree, because the fire department does not tell anybody no. And we get called for maybe an elderly lady that's mm-hmm. living at home by herself. Mm-hmm. Her toilet's overflowing. She dials 911. Mm-hmm. There's no one else to send, so the fire department's going to go. But luckily, we're going to go shut the water off. And more than likely, we have a plumber or somebody that's, you know, handy on the engine. And they're like, well, wait a second, man, let's go ahead. Oh, here's your problem. And next thing you know, they fix the problem. And you kind of hear stories about that all through the fire service. And I think that's one of the things that drives people to be a firefighter.
Oh, I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about two things. I know we have to take a quick break here in just a minute. I'd like to talk about electrical wiring.
Okay.
Because and just because that, for some reason, that spooks me a little bit.
Me too.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd love to talk about fire hazards in the house, rooms that are most likely, I guess my assumption is a kitchen. But let's talk briefly, if we can, about electrical wiring.
Right now?
Sure.
Okay. So, well, first off, there's
right
three
now.
Things that I'm afraid of.
Okay.
Spiders.
Okay.
Snakes, electricity. I don't mess with any of those three. Snakes, I'm getting a little better with.
So
if anyone has any questions at all about electricity, first off, they need to maybe look and see if it's something with wiring, get a professional to look at it.
Okay.
But when we're looking at extension cords, we don't want to overload outlets. We don't want to have those, you know. My wife actually come home the other day and she's like, hey, I bought an extension cord for our new lamp. I'm like, no, we're not putting that in our house. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, because it's a $3 extension cord. It's not this. Will it catch fire? You never know, but you don't want to take a chance. Right? You want to get something that's actually, you know, you want to get an outlet plugged directly into the outlet. Those extension cords get really hot, especially if they're kinked.
But I thought that was the point of having the extension cord was to not do that.
Well, they have some that are rated better than others, and you're going to have to look, and they have a UL slip on and everything. But it's those are things. Ideally, you want to use a surge protector, and they make them at all lengths now. That way, if something happens in that cord or is a short, it's going to cut the power and not continue to do it. That's one of the main things that we want to look at.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're still going to talk about electricity because you're afraid of it, and we can't talk about spiders or snakes, so we'll go back to that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host Debbie Lines and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place. We're talking to Randy Hunter. We're talking about electricity in your home. And I would think around the holidays and probably 4th of July are pretty sketchy and dangerous when it comes to house fires and electricity.
Well, especially Christmas. We have all the, what's Clark Griswold say, you know, he's an expert in exterior illumination or however. But you look at this stuff and people do, they're going to run a lot of extension cords during the holidays. And we're just going to have to make sure that we're, the main thing with running cords is get a cord that's actually rated for what you're looking for to do. I just purchased myself a surge protector that's extra long. You know, for that reason, because our surge protectors are normally that long, they don't reach where I need to, so I bought a longer one so that if something does happen, it actually has a switch, it'll self...
turn off, it'll flip
off. Yeah,
so if I get a surge protector, I can put my $3 extension cord in it, and then...
No. I mean, the idea would be, in theory, it should protect it, so that that $3 extension cord shorts out, the surge protector should stop that. But the idea would be like my surge protector, I bought a 6-foot one that kind of extends backwards and no one can see it, and we can plug our lamps into it.
What's so funny, when we do the podcast at the end, we do takeaways, and the takeaway from this is already do not buy a $3. I mean, I didn't know that. I thought,
A lot of people don't, and I'm not going to, don't get me wrong. If you look at my garage, there's probably a $3 extension cord hanging up there. We try and do the best we can as firefighters to really represent and do practice what we preach. But every once in a while you get somewhere where you just really want that lamp to turn on.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, but the idea is that we don't want to be, we want to try to avoid stuff like that.
What is the biggest cause of fires in homes in general?
Between cooking and heating. That's the two biggest fires, right? Or causes of fires right there. Now, actually in the low country here, we have a lot of lightning strikes. So that's something we really can't prevent. But we, in the summertime, we run a ton of lightning strikes. It's just because of the pines and all that stuff here. But a lot of our nationwide heating and cooking fires seem to be the main cause of home fires.
What about dryers?
Well, dryers, the main thing that causes fires in dryers is going to be the vents being cleaned out. Making sure
what? Vents being cleaned out?
Yeah, you know, where the lint traps are and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
You ever clean those?
Well...
No, I'm asking. We're on your podcast. we're gonna turn the tides now.
Yeah.
So that heats up in there, and then when that air can't flow, as it restricts it, then it can't do what it needs. It doesn't operate properly, and it catches fire. So you know, when you look at your overall home, and like I said, we could talk for 4 months on safety. But when you're looking, you want to follow the manufacturer's instructions. You want to stay vigilant on keeping things maintained, cleaned. Watching for slips and falls, you know, so there's a ton of stuff that can be done.
I'll tell you what scares me the most for myself is, you're going to flip it, is I have a tendency of popping popcorn or doing something and getting distracted, and I've burned pots on the stove, which is really embarrassing because you don't think that that's a big deal.
So things happen like that. We were cooking one time, and a lot of people have done that. You get sidetracked. We were cooking one time at the house, and we had a wooden cutting board.
Yeah.
And I was doing something and needed the counter space and slid it off. We have a flat top stove. Slid it off on the stove. Didn't even think anything about it. My wife's like, something's burning.
What is that smell?
And I didn't realize that the burners were on, and I slid around on top of the burners. Mm-hmm. And so people do make mistakes. You know, the idea is that we all are human. We're going to do that, but it's to try and prevent those as much as possible. Now, I would not want to come to your house if you were cooking in front of some pots on the stove.
That would not be good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, but that's something that we can, you know, again, just trying to stay vigilant.
We had a situation, and I would be curious as to how you would handle this. We were in the kitchen about a year ago. No, you would love this. We were in the kitchen about a year ago, and I was having a meeting, and I looked, and there were literally, swear to you, flames shooting out of my dishwasher. My dishwasher.
Yeah. What was on fire?
I guess the top panel, it had been, I had someone out to fix it the day before, and I guess something just, mm-hmm. So I went to my laundry room, and I got my fire extinguisher that was dated 1987, and I went, ooh, I'm scared to touch it because of all the spider webs, and now that I've touched it, I don't know what to do with it. And the reason I bring that up is fire extinguishers. I mean, there were flames. I think you're going to be wise in what you do and how you handle these situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so all of these things we're talking about, you can find them through the NFPA.org, which is the National Fire Protection Association. Look, your local fire department, sure. Whatever it may be. But like I said, there's so much stuff we could talk about. Have a fire extinguisher. Make sure it's dated. Make sure you know where it's at.
Make sure you know how to use
it. We go into a lot of businesses, and everyone's all excited to be, you know, oh, man, we have an AED. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Where is it? Not really.
And an ADD for the people who make
An automatic external defibrillator, right. Which is, you know, great that you have one. But sometimes other employees don't know where it's at. Yeah. You know, so these safety tips can go into your home, into your place of employment. If you go to a restaurant, there's just things that just be vigilant and know, you know, what you can do to be safe.
And again, fire extinguishers, I think, are intuitive to you. You don't even think about them. But I think to many of us, and it's funny because my kids have no idea.
No, they
need- and I mean, they're adults. Mm-hmm. They're young adults, but I think that they've just always been used to growing up with them, but not really ever seen them in practice.
Yeah, and that's the way the fire service is going out with the community risk reduction.
Okay.
A lot of our programs, you know, 10 years ago were strictly based at kids.
Okay.
Stop, drop, roll, don't play with fire.
Right.
Whatever it may be. Now we're realizing that we do have older kids, adolescents,
young adults
that don't know how to operate a fire extinguisher. So we try and encourage them to come out and learn CPR, first aid, just you name it. We try and educate people on it with just our anything.
It's amazing. So people can call no matter where you are in the U.S. Are standards or codes pretty much the same? In other words, are firefighters all trained in CPR?
Yes. That's I want to say it's a broad question. Yes. All firefighters are trained a certain level of medical. Some fire departments are just the very basic of first aid, what they call a emergency first responder.
Okay.
Then we have EMTs, EMT advanced, paramedics, and then we even have some
like paramedics who are helicopter pilots.
Yeah, we have flight medics and stuff like that actually done part time. So when we have all that stuff, so we are trained in all that. All firefighters are trained in basic fire prevention. Like we know how. Like if you come up to our youngest firefighter and say, "Hey, I would like to have a can you tell me to use a fire extinguisher?" They should be able to, because that's in recruit school. They're required to do some pub ed during recruit school. But yes, 90%. And if they don't know the answer to it, they know exactly where to go and help you find it.
And you know, we've only got a couple of minutes to go, but before we go, I think I'd be remiss in not asking, what is an emergency? When something happens, how do I know when to actually call 911? I think there's a big misconception.
Well, my biggest thing is don't ever, if you have to question it, call 911. We would rather come to your house, come to your place of employment and be canceled en route or get there and like, oh, everything's okay, as opposed to being sitting in the station and like, you know, if they had called us 10 minutes earlier. So don't ever, if you have to question whether or not it's an emergency, absolutely 100% call 911.
It really is the way, whether it's,
yep.
Whether it's physical,
mm-hmm.
Fire.
Yeah, because an emergency to me may not be an emergency to you,
okay.
And vice versa. So I'm not going to sit here and dictate.
See what you're saying.
But if somebody feels that they need help, we never, ever want them to discourage them from calling 911. We want them to call, have us come out, have law enforcement, EMS, whoever, come out, assess the situation, and we'd rather go back home and making sure you're safe as opposed to not being called at all.
Then on that note, what information do I need to be armed with to help you expedite this and that you can do your job and I can be more efficient with the information?
Current location, what the problem is, where you're calling from. And with cell phones nowadays, we need to make sure that when the dispatcher answers the phone, that you tell them where you're actually calling from. Sometimes like the Fusky Island, maybe not a right. good example. Mm-hmm. It may go, the Fusky Island right now is a Hilton Head dispatch,
okay.
but it may ping on Beaufort County. So where are you calling from?
And so that means no matter where we are in the U.S., that same situation.
It could absolutely 100%.
Do yeah. you find that people don't know where they're calling? Sure, I guess.
Oh, absolutely.
Would.
We have a lot of this area down here. We have a lot of tourists. Hey, I see a lot of, there's a house on fire. Where at? I'm not sure where, but I think it's
that way.
I see it all. I'm on 278 and I see dark black smoke somewhere down there. So we got to send apparatus to try and pinpoint where this, you know, and people don't usually stay where they're at.
I tell you what, the more we talk, the more questions I have. I can think of outside and gardening and all kinds of questions. Will you come back and talk to us?
Oh, absolutely. I love this. Please.
Randy, thank you so much. We want to thank all of you for joining us here on Aging in Place for any stage in life. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. Love thy neighbor. They come in handy one day. If you're friends with your neighbors, the ones right next door, or even just a few houses down, come up with a system that lets them know you are okay. I used to watch over an elderly woman who lived alone, and I had her call me every morning at 8 a.m. And she let my phone ring twice. That way it doesn't disturb what I'm doing. And if she didn't call me by 8:15, I would call her to make sure she was okay. Also, she would turn on her porch light every night, so without disturbing her, I knew all was well when I did my drive-by. And her neighbors kept watchful eye for the light, too, and they had my phone number just in case. So devise a plan, let your neighbors know that you're good at baking, or shopping for cookies at least, for an exchange for a watchful eye. Who knew your safety could be right next door?
Randy, what an amazing interview today. And talk about a takeaway. Here's the bottom line. Please, please, please check your smoke alarms and don't ever hesitate to call 911. Better to be safe than sorry. Thank you all for joining us here on Aging in Place for any stage in life.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik DeGior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.